Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, well, we pissed someone off, Devone. We're back on the air. And apparently there's a fire alarm going on. It's a test, people. It's a test.
Get the hell out of here, pasta!
Yeah, Steve is shooketh behind
the
glass.
Our producer left.
Yeah, well, you're the one that ran out. I was like, is this legit? And he goes, oh, no, sorry, it's just a test, just working on a couple things. But it is going to bleed over onto the air.
How much longer are we going to listen to it?
I don't know, man, but I don't really like the tone. Like, you were saying that if this was the voice or the tone of somebody on third down at a football game, I don't know if it would be able to, you know, I don't know if it would be able to evoke emotion from the rabble-rousers and those that are just, you know, drunk and peeing themselves by the second half.
It evoked emotion for me. I was like, the show's all yours, baby. If this building's on fire... Where's this week? My ass. I'm out of here. I was halfway down Kearney Street.
It's raining outside. How could there be a fire in the building? Steve, lay off the microwave.
Okay? I'm not even going to lie. The worst possible scenario for anything in life is a fire alarm at school or work. And yeah, I'm not going to lie. I kind of panicked for a second there. Yeah.
I was speaking to my chemistry teacher, Mr. Lawrence.
Easy, Rizzy.
So Mr. Lawrence, my chemistry teacher, I went to high school here in San Francisco.
Yeah, we know.
He graduated. Have I not reminded you in the last 10 minutes?
St. Ignatius, for those just joining us.
So he just graduated Yale, and he was an East Coast, Connecticut, New York guy. And his first time out on the West Coast was to take this job in San Francisco as a chemistry teacher. So sure enough, within the first couple of months, we had an earthquake, and all of us that have grown up in the city, you know exactly what to do. You get under your desk, or you get under a doorway, which is supposed to have the most solid structure. This guy ran outside. He's like, earthquake! Earthquake! He forgot all of us, and he ran outside, and we looked out the window, and we're like, well, dude, what are you doing? That's the last place you want to be during an earthquake. You a rookie?
Well, I'm real glad that you guys have so much trust in your Ivy League school graduation, a graduate level professor in high school. Dude, okay. So some high school teachers, I feel like it's almost like trying to find a prospect in the NBA. Some of them, I would have thought, would never go on to do anything interesting, important, cool. Others, you're like, oh, wow, that teacher's real smart. I love studying, and they get the best out of me. Maybe I want to read a book, which I never did. And those are the ones that get stuck there forever. I have a high school English teacher. I saw a couple of buddies.
Well, teaching isn't a stepping stone to something else.
Well, it can be, because this guy's now the VP of Uninterrupted.
No.
Jimmy Spencer. Do you know this guy?
Yeah, Jimmy Spencer.
Yeah. He taught English at St. Mary's College High School.
That's right. We've talked about it. He's with LeBron James Production Company.
Yeah, so it can be a stepping stone, apparently.
Oh, so is he no longer with LeBron?
Idiots like me. Huh?
Is he no longer with LeBron?
No, he is. But I'm saying he used to teach English back in the day. Yeah. And now he is doing big things. I would have never guessed that someone like Jimmy would go on to do what he's doing.
He's a great guy. Wow, because that's hilarious.
I'm just saying.
Well, I think that a lot of teachers, first of all, shout out all of you teachers. You need to get paid more. But anybody who makes that sort of commitment, you're just, I think the way we view success is very different to a teacher. What it is that you just described, if you can change a kid's life, that to them is success. It's not measured by,
well, it should be,
bank accounts or what we deem as being sort of that sexy position, whether it's in a tech company or making more money than any of us. I think that their definition of success is admirable.
But that's not always just a kid getting good grades or maybe getting into a good college. It could be something deeply more personal than that. And that's in relation to coaching and bringing it back to the Warriors. It's like, you know, the job that Steve Kerr is doing, to me, it's kind of twofold. He's clearly still...
Before we get back to the Warriors, since we're talking about teaching, I just got to give a quick shout out to Bob Drucker, the legendary basketball coach at SI who passed away, I want to say, about a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. Just shout out, Drucks. We love you. RIP. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Sorry to hear
all
that.
All good.
No, but I think that he's either been too rigid or too trusting in one of the two sides of the fence that the Warriors have constructed for him, like the roster, because the only players that are really, I guess, impact guys that are in their prime or around would be Wiggins, Schroeder, maybe you throw Looney in there if you want Gary Payton II. Those aren't your dudes, though. What we're trying to figure out is how the dudes, which would be Curry and Kuminga, really, the two most gifted offensive players that they have. Wiggins can clearly score the basketball, but as you saw last night, when Curry's not on the floor, he's not the number one. It's JK. How can he get his two players that are 22 and 36 years old to play symbiotically? And that's where it's kind of, I don't know, it's not quantifiable in a sense, because you can see it sometimes, but they haven't been winning games. And that's what Steve Kerr, to take a page out of your boy's book, that's what he's got to do. He's got to teach. He's got to teach. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's talk to Austin in San Jose. Wants us to think beyond Steve Kerr. Austin, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy holidays. Man, I enjoyed Tim's comments from North Carolina. I think he absolutely nailed it. Well thought comments from him. I like the idea of accommodation that needs to happen from the vets. And I know, Dan, you sort of challenged that assumption, but I do think there's kind of a middle ground between the coach saying, hey, you know, we're going with this guy, and the player saying, yep. I mean, Draymond has signaled that he understands the transition. He understands the next phase. He understands that really the only guy on the roster that has a chance to be the guy going forward is Kuminga. So if anybody's thinking there's anybody else on the roster, please get it out of your mind, because once Steph decides to leave, and take whoever with him that goes with him, the Warriors are essentially going to be more or less, you don't want to use the word rebuild, but they're going to be in a reset at the very least. So, and then from a marketing standpoint, I always go back to this. How are they selling tickets, guys? I mean, we keep talking about all these guys that fall on the floor and take charges and all this kind of stuff, but those guys aren't going to sell tickets. I mean, Buddy Hield's not selling any tickets. No one's going to see the worry is if Steph is now on the court. When Clay was here, at the very least, even a bad Clay could still sell tickets. You know, he had that charisma and mystique. I don't see anybody. So that's the business side I think we have to look at. But I am in favor of, hey, and the fire alarm going off, guys, in your studio is kind of a metaphor for the Warriors. I mean, the fire alarm is definitely going off. It's really a good transition, Evan, that you made. But the point is that they have to see this as a fire alarm phase. And to me, what do they got to lose now, Dan, as far as just going all in on Kuminga, even if it fails. I mean, what have they got to lose? Because the other side of the coin is if you decide to keep going with this yo-yo 12-man collegiate roster protocol, which I said from the beginning I didn't buy. Even when they were winning, I didn't believe in it. And sure enough, it's come to fruition. So it's either we continue this nonsense and we go 500 for the rest of the season, or we try something different. At least at the very least, we know what Kuminga is. I mean, let's play this guy to the very end, okay? And as far as the accommodation with Curry, I don't know if that's as big a deal as people are making. I think Kerr is making it a big deal with he can't play Kuminga and Wiggins together. He's got a the thing with Curry. I'm not sure I'm buying. I'm seeing as a coaching thing. And the last thing, guys, yeah, what about Kerr? 1 year left on the contract. What about the next coach that comes in? Would that next coaching staff care or want to keep Kuminga, see Kuminga the same way? Because we got to be careful. If we throw out Kuminga and we change coaching staffs over the next 2 years, then what? I just something to throw into the equation, guys. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Yeah, look, a lot of well-thought-out comments. I think that, to me, it's, you know, we said it last weekend, but yeah, it is coming to kind of put up or shut up time. And I don't know if, also the question to me lies as much about whether Curry can play with Kuminga or Kuminga can be at his best with Curry, but also I do wonder where Draymond Green fits into this equation, because yes, Curry was out the Houston game, Kuminga went crazy. Draymond was also out. And Draymond has, I think because he's been dealing with injury, he's been also at a diminished level of himself. I don't think he really gives you anything offensively. And even his facilitation over the last 15 games, in my eyes, has been subpar or less than what Draymond Green has given you in the past. I also wonder, too, if there's a question about can Kuminga, can he still play with Draymond? Can Draymond still be the best option for Curry? Can he still be the best player alongside Steph? Because I was just looking at two-man combinations over the last 10 games, and really over the last 15 when they've lost, gosh, 12 of them. And Draymond Green is not one of the guys that has been playing the best alongside Steph. He hasn't maximized Curry the way that he has seemingly for the entirety of their basketball lives together. And I think that to me is just as a concern as the question we're trying to answer about Kuminga, which is, what's Kuminga going to be? How can he be a one? How can he be the best version of himself? Well, if the question is really how Curry can be the best version of himself, well, then I think you also have to point the finger at the guy who's on the floor with him almost all the time, or last night off the floor with him, and that was Draymond Green.
I agree with you. I said this over the offseason, that this team was too old. I'm trying to think of a team that won a championship or that was good, that was maybe the Spurs, that were quote-unquote older, but it just doesn't happen. It's a young man's world, and there's a reason why teams like Boston, Denver before them, are always sort of in their prime, late 20s, early 30s. You don't see this. And I was a big fan of getting rid of Clay and breaking this thing up. Now, Austin brings up a good point that, you know, we could be looking at a rebuild or a reset in a year or two. I think that I've maintained all along that this is what we're witnessing right now.
The transition.
Yeah, we want to call it a transition. Call it, dress it however it is you want, but that's what this is. Because look around, Ev. I mean, and that's why they should have got rid of Draymond at the beginning of the season. And that's why they should just lean in on Jonathan Kuminga. Because this is not a team that's going to win a title. So you may as well find out where you're at with this kid. Let him develop. Because this is a transitional season. Did we really think at the beginning of the year? Because this is really sort of what it boils down to. It's talent. It's roster construction. You can talk about rosters all we want, but what is it that you want to get out of this team? I mean, okay, so maybe you should play slow-mo more, or maybe it's the rotation with Wiggins sitting and you play Draymond or Jonathan Kuminga. It's still a team that's inferior as far as talent is concerned when you think about Oklahoma, when you think about the top-tier teams in this league. And the NBA has never changed in that regard. It's the reason why the Warriors were so good and won 73 games when they had arguably the best starting lineup in the history of the sport. Either them or the Chicago Bulls, right?
Yeah.
It's the reason why LeBron, Bosh, and Wade got together, because they realize that the three of us can be a powerhouse. The NBA is never changed its face in terms of how you win. So the idea that we're going to do it a different way and just sort of do it with smoke and mirrors and 12 or 13 guys and try and fool you and do this for 82 games, come on, we knew that this wasn't sustainable, because you just don't have the boys at the end of the day. You don't have the horses. And you can look up and down that roster, and there's only so much you can get out of who it is that Steve Kerr has to turn to on a nightly basis.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The roster has been exposed, and when you're losing, everything looks bad. But, I mean, you really get to see the pieces that somehow won 12 of 15 games. They're 500 right now, and this team that cannot
Insanity.
Sniff
it
a
happens.
Win. But it does. It can happen to one player. Yeah. Dan, it happened to like 15 of them. I mean, that's the crazy part about this so far. All right, let's go to Philmo Mike. Philmo, good morning, man. What's going on?
What's popping? A lot of things being said, a lot of good. I mean, I think ultimately, though, you guys have been using different words, unleash, empower. Kuminga, man, he got to be empowered. And then let me just say this. I love Steph Curry, but, like, we can't, like, base everything off Steph Curry. Like, he don't make mistakes. You feel me? Like, the veterans be making mistakes in crunch time. So it's like all this stuff, like they be talking like Kerr trying to say, or then I think you were trying to allude to, I mean, he can't play because these things are happening. Man, Kerr be messing up in crunch time, man. You feel me? 16 years in the league, still making boneheaded plays, doing stupid-ass passes. So I don't want to hear nothing about, like, the veterans and, like, that's no, because Curry's not perfect. And it's not the Golden State Currys. It's the Golden State Warriors. So they need to figure it out. You feel me? It can all be so simple. Wu-Tang Clan sample, because it can.
Nice.
Let people get they burn. When Buddy Hield is hot, get a ball to Buddy Hield. When Kuminga cooking his Kuminga turn, let Kuminga cook. Curry cannot sustain crazy amounts of just, I'm going to cook the whole game. That's not your game no more, bruh. I'm sorry. I love you to death. You feel me? And then also, Kuminga's 22. Like, we got to give him some runway and some leeway. Like they say, unleash him, empower him, because once you do that, you can uncap something. But when you say, nah, man, you can't do this and you can't do that, well, he not going to do that and he not going to do this. But you say, you know what? Man, go out there and play your game, bruh. This is your game tonight. You feel me? This is you. This is you tonight, Kuminga. We need you to take over in the third or the fourth quarter. And the type of team that they have, they can do it. And we keep talking about, oh, we don't have the talent. Yes, we do. We're not executing in the stretch, and we're not hitting our free throws. It's fundamentals. We're right there. We're in every game. All these crunch time minutes and games, we're not executing. And it's from the top to the bottom to the coaching staff to everybody. They do it. They're not executing. They're there. They have the talent. You just said we don't. We do have the talent. We beat OKC. We beat these teams. We can do it. They're not executing. They're not doing the fundamentals. So, like, and then they got to get on the same page. That's all I know. I'm venting because I'm hot. They're right there, but they're not right there. So it's just frustrating.
I got you, Philmo. Just don't turn the fire alarm back on, all right? Coming in too hot.
Sounds like Rob Parker. You know Rob Parker is from the Odd Couple podcast on Fox?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind of sounds like Rob Parker a little bit.
Well, a little more emotion. I mean, Rob's typically pretty steady. Philmo is also a pretty level-headed guy, too. So I met him for the first time in the studio. He's a cool dude.
Oh, really?
But he's hot. He's hot today.
What do you mean you met him in the studio?
Yeah, so Philmo came in, I believe, because he was a part of the Doobie Awards, which was the Morning Roast, you know, sports Emmys, basically the 95.7 Emmys, whatever. And Philmo was a part of it. He did all the introductions. I heard his voiceover. This was, what, a week and a half ago?
Here?
No. It was at Laughing Monk Brewing down in Sunnyvale. Who, by the way, I met a guy last night that I went to high school with, Scott Keating, who works for Laughing Monk. I think he's one of their property managers or something. Anyways, we're talking about it, and we got to do some more work with these guys because that was an awesome event that Filmo was involved in. But also, just for the station, you know, it's so much fun when we can get out and interact with some of the callers, some of the listeners, like person-to-person, face-to-face, because I think a lot of people, and I appreciate it, they listen to us all the time, but it's a lot more fun when you get that human interaction. I don't know if you like to do on remotes or, you know, be a man of the people, Dan DeVone.
No, I don't leave the studio.
Well, you don't leave...
Unless it's on fire.
Just to chime in here, I actually met Filmo Mike at the Doobie Awards on the 20th, and my first day working here, my first day producing, I screened a call from Filmo Mike, and, like, you know, first day, I don't know any of their... they all have these kind of... Oreo cookie in Oakland and Handles. Manny on the dumb bar, and they had their like personas, and I didn't know any of this, and I was like, Filmo Mike. I thought he was Mike in Fillmore or Mike in the Fillmore or something, and I was like, Filmo who? And he was like, Filmo Mike, and he must have said it three times. So when I met him at the Doobie Awards, I introduced myself and I'm like, hi, I'm one of the new producers, and he remembered that screening. Oh, so awesome. Really good guy, and really helped out with the Doobie Awards.
Well, you guys know, you do know that's how Guru got his nickname, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Pete Franklin.
Yeah, he used to flush people.
He used to flush people. And so one time Guru called in with a take, and he said, who's this Guru? Get him off. And he flushed him. And then he always called back in as Guru from Union City.
I can honestly say I never called into Sports Talk Radio.
I never have either, honestly. I've done radio hits. And I've called in when people have asked me to.
Keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Honestly, there is a lot of courage when you call in that's demanded of you to call into a radio station. Sometimes it's like, you know, you're waiting in line, you're waiting to get your takes off. And sometimes I always try and give people the benefit of the doubt when they're beginning their thoughts. It's like the people that come on and just spit, it's incredible because I think it's hard, man.
No, it is. Sort of like being a good analyst. You got to get in and get out and do it in a limited amount of time. So, you know, I fly a lot, so I watch a lot of podcasts, and I have a couple of go-tos. I'm a big Dan Patrick guy. Dan Patrick, by the way, is the king of the mountain. Dan Patrick is the most highly rated show in sports talk radio.
You know I went on Dan Patrick,
I know.
Right?
I was like, I'm watching Dan Patrick, and he's like, let's get out to San Francisco and join Evan Giddings. I'm like, holy Christmas, what do we have here?
That's probably the highlight of my career thus far. That was really cool, although I was bleeping bricks. It was like 7 in the morning.
Yeah, it's early. They go on at 6 East Coast time, and they don't care. Like,
no.
You get up, like all their coasts in the way. Steve Young is on there on occasion. You could tell these guys just got the crust balls in their eyes and people have just woken up. But that's the show by which all others are measured by. Rich Eisen, you name it.
Yeah.
Colin Coward, it starts with Dan Patrick. They were the originators of sort of converting a sports talk radio show into a television program.
Yeah, Dan and the Danettes, all of them. Actually, that was probably the coolest part is I got to talk to Paulie like on Zoom.
Yeah, Paulie sort of, he coordinates the guests, right?
Yeah, he's hilarious. But the other part of it, too, was, dude, I think I went on, like, after Charles Barkley. I had to follow Charles Barkley. And I was trying to think if there was a joke I could make, but no one knew who the hell I was. It was just like, who's this random guy with a Hawaiian t-shirt on here to talk about the Oakland A's? They're not, like, Dan was amazing, by the way. He's a great interviewer. But I do love that show. I do love that show.
So Dan is a guy, this is where I get it from, is that he will tell you he's in that school of less is more.
Yes.
And if you ever listen to him interview somebody, he'll always tell you it's not about my question, it's not about me, it's about the response. So you always want to be, you can always tell somebody who wants to make it about themselves, and they begin to make this long sort of elongated question, just, you know, be very to the point, curt.
Well, I think one of the reasons he's also a great interviewer is he's respectfully challenging, because I think an important part of talking to a big name guest is, like, you don't want to just throw them softballs. You do have to get into the meat and potatoes. And I think, and not just from my experience with him, but just listening to him over the years, he is very disarming. But you can tell that what he's trying to get to. It's not from a place of I'm trying to air you out or get a quote or go viral on social media. It's just it's a legitimate conversation, but he'll challenge you on your point of view. And so, you know, typically a lot of these hosts will have things written for them, questions, but you can tell that he'll go off the cuff if he really wants to dig into something. And that's an important part of interviewing that I personally need to work on, but I think Dan Patrick is A-plus at.
He's the best.
All right, let's go to Indiana and talk to Daniel. Wants to get into Jonathan Kuminga, has been hanging on patiently. Daniel, what's going on? You're on Warriors This Week. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I heard you guys talking about Dan Patrick and all that, and I'm telling you, I would love to be a radio talk show host like you guys. I think it's so much fun, and I'm passionate about the Warriors. I'm not plugging myself. I'm just saying I'm in Indiana here, but, you know. Anyway.
Well, thank you,
Jonathan Kuminga. Yeah, I mean, you guys do a great job and deserve a lot more credit than you get, for sure. So
right on.
Definitely enjoy listening. So,
where in Indiana are you?
I'm actually New Albany, Indiana, right across the bridge from Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So, hey, stay hot.
Right. Yeah. So Jonathan Kuminga, as far as he goes, like I keep hearing, you know, people that, you know, I was listening earlier and you guys were talking about his mistakes and the things, and man, I'm telling you, what really bothers me is that, you know, if he were a 22-year-old rookie performing the way that he's performing right now, we would be like all over his greatness, you know what I'm saying, and how good he is coming out. And you look at guys that are 36 years old, like Dre and Curry, and they're making those same mistakes at a higher clip. I mean, Draymond has 4 turnovers a game, you know, to Kuminga's 1.6. You know, and we want to talk about the boneheaded throwing it out of bounds or this or that. I think where we are as a team, we need to embrace building around Kuminga and then incorporating Curry into that. The last conversation you guys and I had, I talked about Steph Curry being a number 2 as opposed to a number 1. We keep talking about how we want to make somebody, who's his number 2? Who's his number 2? And he's at a stage in his career where he's producing 22 points a game, which is good, but there are days that he's not even producing that. So it's like we've got to go with the athleticism, the guys that can get out and get going. And I think that's what we saw last night with the young guys. Tur wants to talk about, you know, making Kuminga come off the bench because he likes those bench minutes and all that. And I'm like, man, we don't even have our starter minutes down. We don't even have the guys, you know, who are starting performing at a high clip. Like, start your studs. Anybody who's ever played fantasy football or fantasy basketball or anything like that, you start your studs. You put your best guys in. You put the guys that have the best opportunity to create and to score and to do those things. And Kuminga is that.
Yeah.
I mean, last year we were talking about trading for Pascal, you know, Siakam. And honestly, he's produced. I said at that point in time, I said, if you extrapolate his minutes over or his statistics over 36 minutes, he produces it at a slightly lower clip than Pascal Siakam.
I got you, Daniel. Appreciate the call, man. Sorry, we do have to hit a break here, but some interesting thoughts. And it leads me to a place where I want to get to on the other side. My biggest issue right now with this team, with the Warriors, and my biggest concern, quite frankly. We'll get into that on the other side. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone, Warriors This Week, 95.7 The Game.
Jackson Davis, the steal, and he'll power it home! The steal and slam for TJT. We're tied up 34.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Give them some, Kevin Dana.
That is Kevin Dana. Was on the call last night for the Warriors 102-92 loss to the Clippers. That's something. Look, KD is awesome. I can't do that. I can't. I just can't. There is something about Bron. It has to be who you are.
Yeah.
Like, and Dana, he's a very unassuming person. He's a good friend, and I hope he's listening. He's an unassuming guy. He's really nice. He's always prepared. He's just an easygoing person to talk to. And then you hear him get on the mic, and this little red light comes on, and he's just a completely different dude. Yeah. And that's who he is, though.
I love the energy, man.
Yeah.
Well, I love the
Someone had to bring it.
That Tim Roy gets an opportunity to do some television.
Yeah, I know you do.
I'll leave it there. It was enjoyable to watch that game last night.
I know you do.
For some reason, it wasn't annoying.
888-957-9570 is the number. From the 925 of the Comcast Business Text Line, JK could be a good player on a bad team. You said the Young looked good last night. Well, TJD, who's in that Dana highlight, has been looking good lately. So JK, only guy who was better last night. Well, look, Trace Jackson-Davis has been, to your point, Dana, a player that's played much more like last season than he has. And even quietly, I don't think he's been awesome over the course of this season, but, I mean, Pajemski's also been a lot better lately. And I think it's because both of those players have begun to kind of, I don't know, find their roles on this team. And I think, I don't know, more so Pajemski than Trace Jackson-Davis, but those guys were playing, and Pods was just playing too far out of his comfort zone, was trying to do too much. And someone like Kuminga, meanwhile, I think he's shown that he can now do more things outside of just score the basketball. The offensive rebounding, the steals, I think he had a block last night. He filled up the box score. And now the next step is how they can figure out a way to, I think, empower these young players while winning basketball games, because they haven't done a whole lot of that lately.
I like TJD and what I've seen of him. I like that kid. I like the way he's wired. I love the way he plays. I love bigs like that. And he's just got a really sort of a smooth approach. The dribble handoffs. What I'd like to see him do more of is get to the rim. I know that offense isn't his thing. He certainly can't shoot it, but I think that he can, you know, he can put it on the floor and get to that left hand a little bit more frequently. Because right now it's just tip dunks, it's alley-oops, it's putbacks. I love the way he runs the floor, man. He lumbers, but he's always filling a lane. I love his game. And plus he gives you an interior presence. And he challenges everybody. I think that, was it Filmo was saying that the veterans and Steve Kerr make mistakes? Right on, Filmo. Take your Doobie Award, my man, because you earned it. Because I think Steve Kerr, one of the mistakes that he made in that game on Christmas night, not only was it Jonathan Kuminga who made a mistake, whether people want to admit that or not, but Steve Kerr made a mistake by not having Trace Jackson-Davis in that closing lineup.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because like the issue is,
he played so well in that game. I mean, he played well for the last couple of games, and there's no reason for him. You know why he wasn't in it?
Why?
It's because Anthony Davis got hurt, and so Steve Kerr immediately begins to think, let's go small. Let's take advantage of Anthony Davis being out, and let's go small. That's why you had that closing lineup, and you overlooked the fact that hell with that's overcoaching. Like, forget that. Trace Jackson-Davis is balling right now. He's going in the game. I don't care about matchups right now. Trace Jackson-Davis is going to play for me. And if Trace Jackson-Davis ever is on the floor, Austin Reeves is not getting to the hoop. That's the difference between JK and Trace Jackson-Davis and being in school for 5 years. And Trace Jackson-Davis is going to challenge that at the rim. I guarantee you that if Trace Jackson-Davis was on the floor, I'm not saying take out Jonathan Kuminga, but if Trace Jackson-Davis is on the floor, he's not letting anybody go baseline to win that thing, and good night and thanks for coming.
But that's also a situation where you're trusting a younger player, and that burned you. You know, like, you could have put Trace Jackson-Davis in for Schroeder. You could have put him in for the issue is also, too, they didn't have a timeout. And so, I don't know. To me, I didn't really look at that situation and say that Trace Jackson-Davis is the difference. I mean, honestly, if he was healthy because he got hurt in that game, Gary Payton II would have been in that spot, too.
True.
And Gary Payton's a much more heady player right now defensively than Kuminga is. But when you, and this is the flip, the other side of the coin, when you do empower younger players, and I agree with most of our callers, and I think we're on the same page, I do want to see specifically Jonathan Kuminga prioritized for this basketball team. You do have to live with the young players' mistakes, and that was one of them. He missed a free throw down the stretch of that game. That's going to hurt you. Even last night, I know he went 11 of 14 at the line, but if that's a closer basketball game, those free throws are going to come back to bite you. And the fact that he has not been north of 70% at the stripe this season, that hurts you. I think the Warriors can play through those and eventually get to a point where they can win, even with some of those mistakes happening. But I think they've been highlighted by a lot of people just because there's been such a small margin for error. And also, people are more inclined, to Philmo's point, basically, to blame younger players as opposed to veterans. I would say one of the dumbest decisions that I've seen from a Warriors player in the last 2 weeks was Curry taking a shot against Houston with 9 on the clock and 13 on the game clock. Like, that was a dumb decision because he was trying to end the game. And the response after the game is, well, you know, I made that shot 100 times. If I make it, we're going to Vegas. And it's like, yes, but you're not. You know, if Kuminga gets his head around and makes that play and helps Wiggins, they win the game and everyone's happy. Or they go to overtime, maybe they win the game. But it didn't happen. It didn't. And so it's like, I just feel like people are more inclined to point the finger at what they don't know as opposed to the champions that they do. And that's also something that I believe has to change.
Yeah, I would say that when it comes to free throw shooting, I think Steve Kerr would say that there's nothing he can really do about that, especially when it comes to the physical part of a basketball player's offensive game. Like, that's going to come around, or you're either a good free throw shooter or you're not. Missing free throws are sort of beyond Steve Kerr's control. That's up to the player. But when it comes to defensive rotations and mental lapses, that's preventable. And that's what I think drives Steve Kerr nuts. And I think that that's really sort of been the disconnect with him and Jonathan Kuminga at the end of the day. It's the little things.
Well, last night he gave you most things.
He was huge last night.
You might have missed some little things, but last night he was awesome. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Dan Devone, Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors This Week. Let's go up to Mountain View, talk to Jan. Jan, what's going on? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. Well, I'll start here, and I may get off the track, but I want to make it perfectly clear. When Curry came into this league, he made all sorts of turnovers, and he made mistakes, and so did Clay, and on and on. Well, Mark Jackson developed this team before Kerr took over, and by the time that Kerr took over, the only problem was they couldn't get over the top, but they were playing good basketball. And then Kerr comes in, and he has an easy road for about, you know, and then we get Durant after we had that blowout loss against Cleveland in the finals in 2016, as you remember. And we got Durant. Well, he helped us win two more championships. Well, ever since then we got this one in the past 3 years. Well, we've developed a lot of adversity, and it seems like Kurt's, I'm feeling like he's always blaming the rookies or the younger people because they have to learn by their mistakes, just like Curry had to learn. And I know that they want their fifth ring, but look, you know, they're going to have to realize that this is not a championship team. And regardless of who they try to get in to help Curry, it doesn't matter. I don't think they're going to get their fifth ring. They're not going to get they'll be lucky if they make it in the finals this year. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I don't know if anybody is under the guise that it is or ever was a championship team, Dan, but I think people are just worried that this team is not going to make the playoffs or not even going to. I mean, gosh, you continue to lose the way you have, you might not qualify for the play-in. You might be a lottery team.
I agree.
I mean, they look closer to a lottery team the last 15 games, certainly than a team that is a top six seed.
I'm a fan of that at the end of the day. I am. I've
pooped for Coop.
I think I've intimated that from the outset.
Wave the white flag.
You know, you never want to be stuck in the middle. You never want to be middling. Either have the surgery and start the recovery process now, or prolong this and have a slow death.
Just rip the Achilles tendon off the bone?
I just... the idea that you think that this version or a player, whether it's Jimmy Butler, I want to get back to Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga in a second.
Oh.
If you think that that's going to get you back, you're not one player away. This is, and it always has been, a bit of a reset or a rebuild. Look at the Buddy Hield, Slow-Mo, Lindy Waters, Schroeder. These are journeymen. These are guys that you're not winning with, and you're not winning with Steph and Draymond at this age of their careers. So enjoy this. I think, you know, I think if they got to the playoffs and stole one, that's all that Steph would require at this point. But this is clearly, I think the best thing that could happen to them is to get into the lottery. You know, you get, Cooper Flagg, I don't even want to go there, but you're starting anew. And the sooner you do that, the quicker you get back to relevancy. The idea of just like trying to balance yourself on both sides of the fence, to me, is a slow death, and it drives me absolutely crazy when teams try and go down that road.
But Austin brought up an earlier point, which is about the marketability. Like, one of the reasons that I believe that the Warriors were so heavy on pushing this idea that Pajemski and Kuminga were bigger than they are, and Pajemski was untradeable or a future all-star, and Kuminga has all the talent in the world, and they're being sold to us as these bill of goods that so far this season they have been able to live up to. I think one of the reasons is there's not really anything to sell with the Warriors outside of Steph Curry. Even Draymond Green, I don't know if that's a selling point for fans. If, let's say Curry's not playing and Draymond is, I'm not going to the game because Draymond's on the floor. Curry's the only thing that right now this organization has to sell to its fans. And that's the only reason why, if you do decide to tank or to go in the wrong direction, I think you're going to have a hard time keeping happy your most marketable chip, which is Steph. And yes, he hasn't played certainly as well as he even did last year. But if you're the Warriors, I don't think you can afford to try and piss off really the only thing that you got going
for. No, I agree. That's why they always say dynasties never end well. There's no easy exit out of this. There's no off-ramp that's going to appease everybody. But I'm just saying that for the best, the remedy for this basketball team to get back to where they once were is to start anew sooner rather than later. And if you think that this version of the Golden State Warriors is competitive, you're kidding yourself. At the end of the day, what this is a rebuild. So if you're going to rebuild, lean all the way in. Don't stay in the medium on Highway 101. Pick a lane.
Mm.
So can I give you my... Do you have anyone on the... any callers?
We got Jonathan who's on his lunch break, so I kind of want to get him in
Is it Kuminga?
What's up, Jonathan? I hope we were able to get you in before you finish your lunch. What do you got?
Yeah, you guys did, actually. I just wanted to chime in with what you're kind of saying is a lot of people are saying, oh, if we don't do this, we're not going to the playoffs. If we don't do that, we're not going to the finals. I didn't see playoffs or finals this season with anything we did during the offseason. I mean, am I missing something? Am I not part of the fan base? Because a lot of people are talking, you know, as if we're, you know, making a couple moves out of the finals. We have so much work to do. And like you gentlemen said, let's take a page out of Mike Greer and the San Jose Sharks. They were on the cusp for a while and very competitive team, very marketable team. They had a lot of stars on their team. Well, that ended up backfiring as the rebuild started coming, and we watched some horrible seasons of the Sharks, and I got to say, that tank was empty, and it seemed like we were going to give up hope after a while, and then we got it. We had that tank season, which I'm not encouraging anyone to tank. However, we got that number one draft pick, and boy, I don't know if you guys are Shark fans, but if you went from last season to this season, even though we're still losing, and you got Macklin Celebrini, seats are filled. People are watching about it. The NHL is talking about the Sharks. Even though we're bad, they're talking about it. And I guess my point to all of this is be patient, Warriors fans. Trust the process. Rebuild's not going to be pretty. It's not fun, but that's what makes you a fan. Sit there, deal with it, and we're going to have a better future once we get that draft pick. That's all I got to say, my guys.
Thanks, Jonathan. Enjoy. I heard it was pesto pizza.
That is correct. It's still good when it's not microwaved.
Right on, Jonathan. Good stuff. All right, Jimmy Butler.
That was a good call.
That was a good call.
We're going to acknowledge Pesto Pizza. It's a good call. What do you want with Jimmy
His name's
Butler?
Jonathan, not Kuminga. But, yeah, I mean, look, did people think that they were finals worthy coming into the season? I don't think so. But I think the start had people feeling like the Warriors basically gaslighted us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... I was sipping the Kool-Aid. I don't know about finals, but I did believe based on the start, because I thought that they had banked enough wins to be able to sustain, you know, an extended stretch of maybe 500 basketball. But again, they're 3-12. You know, they're playing literally the inverse of how they did to begin the season, and they're 30 games in. They still got 52 to go, but they either have to. I don't know, Dan. They have to find a way to win some games if they're going to steer this thing around. But, I mean, to me, it's like I never bought that they were a championship team. But I think people were buying that they could look like one that was a piece away or a move away. And that's the other thing about the trade market, too, right now. And whether it's for a superstar or for a role player, I just don't think that there's a guy out there that corrects what we've seen right now with the Warriors. I think it runs deeper than that.
No. Not at all. And it's not Jimmy Butler. And I think, was it not Austin? It was Raleigh. And Raleigh, North Carolina, was talking about, and he's an impassioned young man. I love that guy. And he was talking about Jimmy Butler or Jonathan Kuminga. Because Jonathan Kuminga, would you agree? Now, Pat Riley has come out and said that Jimmy Butler's not going anywhere.
Do you buy that?
I do.
I kind of don't.
Riley's old school, man.
I know, which is why when his player's publicly asking for a trade... His response is not, well, we'll try and figure something out. It's, no, we're not moving him. Like, almost just a spiteful statement towards a guy that has probably been pissing him off for the better part of a calendar
year.
Well,
let me ask you this. So one of the teams that Jimmy Butler has entertained, and I think is on his wish list, are the Golden State Warriors. Now, if Jimmy Butler were to come to the Golden State Warriors, I think that would really match the timeline with Steph Curry.
Yeah, it would.
Now, Jonathan Kuminga, would you agree, is going to be a trade piece? Like, Jonathan Kuminga is, like, the money has to match up.
He's their best trade chip. Yeah.
So he's going to Miami if that were to happen. Would you agree?
Yes.
Just think about that for a second. And I said this last night. If you think Steve Kerr has issues with Jonathan Kuminga and his lack of defense or the nuances of the game, rest assured that Pat Riley, who has built an entire four decades of basketball genius, is built on one thing, and that's buying in and the grit and the dirt and getting on your hands and knees and playing defense. And that's how he wins. That's what he looks for in players. And you better have the dog if you want to come to Miami. And I would just say this, knowing Pat Riley, there's no way in hell that Jonathan Kuminga would ever get traded to the Miami Heat. He is now, it's not an indictment on Jonathan Kuminga, so don't go nuts. I'm just telling you, if there was ever a player that was not suitable to play for Pat Riley in the Miami Heat, it's Jonathan Kuminga.
See, I would see that as, if Pat Riley wants Kuminga, I don't want to give him up. Like, if Pat Riley... One of the reasons why I felt like the Warriors weren't wise to do business with the Utah Jazz is because Danny Ainge has a long laundry list of trades in which he wins. You're going to get fleeced if you do business with Danny Ainge. If Pat Riley wants one of your players, I'm inclined to keep that player.
Well, he doesn't want.
Who?
Pat Riley does not want Jonathan Kuminga.
How do you know that?
Well, I don't. But I'm just saying, historically, when you look at Pat Riley, he's about defense. Do you know when you play for the Miami Heat, that you have to, it's like college. You have to, like, run laps before practice. You have to, like, go through this training program and come under a certain time just to start camp. It is so old school. It is so much about all the things that Steve Kerr has questions about Jonathan Kuminga. The defensive rotations, the chatter and being communicative defensively, and defense, 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 being a dog. It's the Jimmy Butlers. It's all those guys that have that buy-in to that system. That's Pat Riley. My point is, if there is one player in the NBA that doesn't fit who Pat Riley is, it's Jonathan Kuminga. There's no way in hell I could see Jonathan Kuminga playing for Pat Riley.
See, I actually could, and it's because of all the physical tools. I think Pat Riley is a player that, or is a member of the front office that they could say, they can't get what they need out of him. I can't. Because there are far few, there are a fraction of a percentage of players in this league that have the kind of athletic ability of Jonathan Kuminga. I think Pat Riley is looking at him and saying, dude, if I could get my hands, he's still 22 years old. If I could get my hands on him for, and I get to get off this problem child that's been pissing me off for the last year.
Yeah, but think about who Jimmy Butler is. Jimmy Butler is a problem child, but there's a reason why he went to Miami's sort of it's for sort of the misfit toys. Jimmy Butler is a talent, but he buys into Miami. And Pat Riley, one of the reasons why he wanted Jimmy Butler is because Jimmy Butler has that dog. Say what you will about Jimmy Butler.
He embodies Heat culture.
Oh, absolutely. And think about all those teams that Spo and Riley have put together. Those aren't about star-laden players. They overachieve. It's about that system, and that system starts with guys like Jimmy Butler and buying in on defense and doing all those things that people have criticized Jonathan Kuminga of not being able to do at this juncture of his career. They're not, I mean, Tyler Hero is a guy that maybe, you know, has some star quality, but every one of those guys are overachievers when you think about how far and as much as Spo and Riley have gotten out of those teams that went to the NBA Finals 2 years ago against Denver, that went to the Finals in that pandemic year against, was it the Lakers?
Yeah.
I mean, those teams were void of the Anthony Davises and the LeBron James or the Chet Holmgrens or the Karl Anthony Towns or the Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders. It was Pat Riley's system that I don't think suits what it is that we've seen from Jonathan Kuminga up to this point.
Well, and Eric Spoelstra. I mean, I also think, too, that ended up being their downfall, the fact that they did overachieve. But it wasn't like they didn't have talent or an eye for talent. I don't know if Pat Riley wants Kuminga. I'm just not dismissing it. And if he did,
it'd be very atypical from what we've seen of Pat Riley teams up to this point. Maybe it happens. I'm just saying it would be sort of unusual.
Well, it also means that the Warriors would have to be in on Jimmy Butler, which at this point, I don't necessarily know why you would do that. I don't see Jimmy Butler as Captain Save a Warriors, and he's just going to come in and
he's
bring
an expiring contract.
Well, that would actually, that might be my favorite part about him.
Yeah, but what if he walks and you have to give up Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis and draft picks?
Well, then you do get to the point where you're asking for literally a reset. Like that is that is where you reset everything. I'm not sure it's going to happen though. But one more hour left on Warriors this week. If you want to get in on the conversation, please do. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. We'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.